Hello and welcome back. Today I have another story for you. It is in the genre of mystery or thriller, which is where things happen which are exciting and perhaps maybe even just a little bit frightening too. It's going to be a B2 story. Now, what that means is that I write the story with a B1 language base, and I bring in some B2 phrases so that there isn't too much language in there and it isn't too complicated. Okay, well, here we go. Hello, and welcome to Practicing English. My name is Mike Bilbrough, and these are podcasts for students of English at B1 or B2 levels, or for those students who just want to improve their general English. Right, well, I'm going to go into the story phrases straight away. As I said, the ones that I'm going to explain today are B2. The title of the story is called Drawing Conclusions. Drawing Conclusions. As usual, I'm going to put these phrases in the show notes or on my website. That will be podcast 184. And there you can see the phrases in the order that I'm talking about them now and in the order that they occur in the story. Now, the title of the story is called Drawing Conclusions. That is to draw as in D-R-A-W. Now, here, to draw a conclusion means after some consideration, after taking things into consideration, which was a phrase we had in a previous story, if you remember, after taking things into consideration, you arrive at a conclusion. And so that is to draw a conclusion. And that's the title of the story. Because in the story, the characters, well, after seeing the evidence, they decide on what they think has happened. So that's the first one. The next one. Well, the next one is sort of grammatical, really. It's neither nor, which is a B2 grammatical structure. And it's where we have two things that we are saying are not true. So in this sentence, which is the sentence which occurs in the story, it reads, Mrs. Robinson had neither seen nor heard Lorna since. I'll read that again. Mrs. Robinson had neither seen nor heard Lorna since. So is neither a nor to say two things are in the negative. And that's a B2 structure. It's useful for you to use that in your B2 writing, for example. The next phrase is to take great pride in, or to take pride in something. So pride spelled P-R-I-D-E. If you take pride in something, you like it very much, or you think that it is a very great quality. You take pride in something perhaps that you do well. Maybe you play a musical instrument, the violin. And to take pride in it is that you played very well because you practiced very hard and people enjoy listening to you. My next phrase is to go into more detail means to describe something more fully, to say more about a situation. You go into more detail. My next phrase is he couldn't look her in the eye. And this is sort of idiomatic in that it must be in the eye, in the singular, and not in the plural. Now, if you can't look at somebody in the eye, it's usually because, well, perhaps you are embarrassed. Perhaps you feel guilty about something. And so you can't look at that person in the face or in the eye, and you tend to look away, don't you? Yeah. My next one is to be very absorbed in something. Now, that's when you're studying, perhaps, reading a good book, playing a game of chess, something which takes up a lot of your concentration, and you say you're very absorbed in it, that you are giving it 100% of your concentration. My next phrase is, as far as she knew. Okay, well, that could be as far as I know as well in the present tense. So that means that you have certain information about a subject, but you don't know everything about it. So we say, as far as I know, and then you say what you do know, but you realize and you admit you don't know everything. My next phrase is an idea that crosses one's mind. So it could be an idea or a thought as well, something that we think about. It crosses our mind. So that means that this thought or idea comes into your head. And we say, the idea crossed my mind. My next phrase is gossip. Well, it's not a phrase, it's a word really. It's a B2 word, gossip, G-O-S-S-I-P. And that means, well, it's a verb to gossip, or a person can be a gossip, which means then they talk about other people, often behind their backs, so they don't know. You often see programs on the television where they sit down and they talk about famous people, they talk about celebrities, and they talk about their lives, their love lives, things they've done, and it's of great interest to some people, gossip. And some people love to gossip, to talk about other people. The next phrase is the trouble with something. So when we complain about anything, we can say, the trouble with this village, as she says in the story, is, that means, that is a negative point about something. The trouble with living in a city is that there is often a lot of pollution. That is the trouble with something. My next phrase is on the point of. Now, many languages have these phrases to talk about a situation which is about to happen, which is going to happen in the immediate future. She was on the point of getting up. So she was going to get up in the next few seconds. On the point of. My next phrase is common knowledge. It is common knowledge. And when we say that, we're saying that something is known by everybody. Everybody knows about it. It's common knowledge that living in cities, that can be a problem because it is very polluted, perhaps, or very noisy. It's common knowledge. We all know that. And my last phrase is just sooner or later. Sooner or later. And that means, really, that something is going to happen. We don't know when. It might be in a short space of time, or it might be a little bit later. So we say sooner or later. I have three words to add to this list, which are just really words to help you understand the context of the story. One is a greenhouse. A greenhouse. That's one word, and it doesn't mean a house which is green. In fact, it means a house which is made of glass. And in many countries, especially in Northern Europe, in gardens perhaps, often in the UK, we often have a greenhouse. And the greenhouse is for keeping plants in, which perhaps in winter they would get too cold. So a greenhouse is usually warmer inside because it's made of glass and the sun warms it up inside. Another word is a boot, B-O-O-T, B-O-O-T, and that is, okay, it's what you put on your feet, but it's also the back of a car where you put suitcases, for example. In the boot, the Americans say a trunk, but in British English we say a boot. My last word, or phrasal verb in fact, is to split up. To split up when we're talking about a relationship between two people, a married couple, or two people who have a romantic relationship. To split up is when they separate and they are no longer together. They split up. Right, that's my language. My goodness, that's 12 minutes already. Still, it's important to get that language and use it. Listen out for it as you hear the story. You might want to go to the show notes and look at the phrases there as you're listening. Okay, so let's get on with the story. Drawing Conclusions. A B2 level story by M.A. Bilborough. This story is copyright M.A. Bilborough. The question was, should she get involved? There he was, with a plastic bag the size of a full-grown adult. He was attempting to get the whole thing into the boot of his car, which stood in his drive, and was having difficulty in doing so. What was in that bag? Mrs. Robinson hesitated on the pavement, and Bozo, her pet Jack Russell Terrier, stopped too and looked up at her. They were just 20 metres or so away on the other side of the street. At that time in the evening, it was completely dark, and there was nobody else around. The little residential estate was a pretty leafy area, where mostly the wealthier members of the village community lived. It was a place where everybody knew everybody else. At least, they thought they did. Mrs. Robinson lived next door to this man, although she wished she didn't. Mr. Doone was his name, a stranger to the village, really. A married man who had moved with his young wife into the village from elsewhere. Mrs. Robinson didn't know where from. Up north somewhere, she thought, because of the accent. There had been the terrible arguing that Mrs. Robinson could hear through the wall of her semi-detached house, not to mention the throwing of objects. Well, that's what it sounded like. Not the sort of behaviour that one would expect in a neighbourhood such as this. Then, a few days earlier, everything had gone quiet, and Mrs. Robinson had neither seen nor heard from the wife since. So the wife, Lorna, was a gentle, timid person with whom Mrs. Robinson had tried to have a conversation over the garden fence several times. However, as her attempts had not been successful, Mrs. Robinson had eventually lost interest, and so she gave up. It was none of her business, thought Mrs. Robinson, but then She had always taken great pride in caring for her neighbours and their affairs in connection with the community. She was certain that people appreciated her interest and concern. Mrs. Robinson walked in Mr. Doone's direction. He saw her and looked up guiltily as she walked into the drive where his car was parked.
"Good evening, Mrs. Robinson," he said brightly. "Have you had a nice walk with your dog?"
"Very nice, thank you very much,"
said Mrs. Robinson. There was a pause.
"Are you off on holiday, Mr. Doone?"
"Me? No, I'm just loading my wife's coats into the car."
"Oh,"
replied Mrs. Robinson, and she stood there and said no more, so that Mr. Doone felt obliged to go into more detail. Mr. Doone stopped trying to push the huge bag into the boot and stood up, pushing his hands into his suit jacket pockets. Mrs. Robinson noticed how he looked down at his shoes, as though he couldn't look her in the eye.
"You see, Mrs. Robinson,"
and he looked awkward,
"Lorna and I have split up. We've been having problems lately, so she's gone to stay with her mother."
He looked up and saw Mrs. Robinson gazing at the black plastic bag.
"These are her coats," he said hurriedly. I'm taking them to her mother's house now."
"I see,"
said Mrs. Robinson, but she wasn't convinced, and Mr. Doone could see that. He quickly reached towards the bag and tore a hole in the plastic.
"Look," he said, "this is her raincoat."
Indeed, it was a raincoat, and Mrs. Robinson could see quite clearly that the only contents of that bag were coats.
"I'm sorry about your separation,"
she said, rather coldly.
"Perhaps you'll get back together one day."
And with those words she turned, and with her Jack Russell following close behind, walked down the drive, then turned into her own. She went straight to the front door of her house, unlocked it, and walked in. The next morning, Mrs. Robinson was sitting in the conservatory, which was situated at the back of the house. It looked onto her back garden, which was very green and colourful in the late spring, with garden flowers growing around the edge and a fish pond in the middle. The wooden fence, which went all the way around the garden, was high enough so that, when outside, you couldn't quite see your neighbour in the garden next door, and they couldn't see you. However, the conservatory was on a slightly higher level than the garden, which meant, from this point, Mrs. Robinson could see quite clearly what was going on in Mr. Doone's garden. She had cleverly put up some net curtains over the large window, which meant that she could see out, but Mr. Doone would not be able to see in. This morning Mr. Doone was very active in his garden and had been these past few days, and Mrs. Robinson was very absorbed in everything that was going on. She poured herself another cup of tea and watched carefully. As far as she knew, Mr. Doone was building something. He had started by digging a shallow hole about 3 meters long and 2 meters wide. He had no help and had dug it by himself with a garden spade. At first, a few days ago, ideas had crossed Mrs. Robinson's mind about what he might be putting in that hole, especially after the silence from the Doone's house. the arguments having completely stopped altogether. Deep down, Mrs. Robinson was rather hoping she could be witnessing something sinister. How her friends would love to hear her gossip! She would attract the attention of the entire neighbourhood. However, this morning, she could now clearly see what Mr. Doone was building. He was putting up a white structure that looked like a small house. Then when she saw the glass he had delivered, she realised it was going to be a greenhouse. So the mystery had gone. Many of Mrs. Robinson's neighbours had greenhouses. It was a perfectly respectable possession. Perhaps Mr. Doone was not such a bad sort of person after all. The trouble with this village, thought Mrs. Robinson, was that nothing really interesting ever happened. Mrs. Robinson had finished her tea and was on the point of getting up and going out to see friends when the phone rang. Mrs. Robinson picked it up.
Oxted 595460, Mrs. Robinson speaking.
Hello, Deirdre. Marjorie here. Would you like to come out for a coffee this morning? I'm sure you've got lots to tell me about your neighbours and their fighting.
Marjorie, from number 44 up the road. Friend and expert gossip.
Hello, Marjorie. Well, there was something that happened last night, but unfortunately, I'm afraid it's all rather dull in the end.
Ooh! Tell me anyway,
said Marjorie.
Well, I was coming home from my evening walk with Bozo when I saw Mr. Doone in his drive.
Yes?
Yes, he was trying to put this huge plastic bag into the boot of his car.
Ooh,
said Marjorie excitedly.
A dead body, of course.
That's what I thought. I went up to him and asked him about it.
You didn't. That must have taken a lot of courage.
Well, you know me, Marjorie. I see it as my duty, really. It's common knowledge that I take pleasure doing what I can to protect our community. Of course, I didn't say anything to make him feel suspicious.
I'm sure you didn't,
said Marjorie.
Mr. Doone said he'd split up with his wife. You know, that Lorna woman.
Well, that's wonderful news, said Marjorie. I thought you said it was all a bit dull. We should get the girls together and tell them about it over a coffee.
Yes, yes, I suppose so. It's just that I was rather hoping for something a bit more, you know, thrilling.
You mean a body in that bag? Well, how do you know there wasn't a body?
Asked Marjorie.
Because he showed me. There were just a few coats. He was taking them to her mother's house. You see, she'd left him and gone to live with her mother.
I see. Wait a minute. He showed you what was in the bag. Why? What did you say?
Asked Marjorie.
Nothing really. I just stood there to make him feel uneasy. I thought he'd show me sooner or later. He made a hole in the bag so I could see inside. Just ladies' coats. And now this morning he's building a greenhouse in his garden.
Well, there you have it. That's why she left him,
said Marjorie.
What do you mean?
Asked Mrs. Robinson.
Anybody who builds a greenhouse in his back garden must be boring. She got fed up with him and went to live with her mother.
She laughed.
Still, makes a great story,
she continued.
I'll call Philippa and Jennifer. Shall we meet up in the cafe at 11?
He had been very absorbed in mixing cement for most of the morning. In a cement mixer he had hired from Payman's hardware store in the village. He carried the first bucket and poured it carefully onto the floor of the greenhouse, which was now flat and smooth. Then something pink caught his eye sticking out of the earth. He panicked for a moment and quickly looked up at the conservatory window of the house next door. He knew Mrs. Robinson thought he couldn't see her, but he could, even through the net curtain. Bloody interfering woman. Always putting her nose into other people's business. But she'd gone. He breathed a sigh of relief and carefully poured the rest of the wet cement onto the greenhouse floor, covering the pink hand.
And that's the end of the story. I hope you enjoyed it. Did you hear the phrases which I mentioned at the beginning? Until next time, goodbye for now.